glance at that. And I think it's time to call for a vote, unless there's someone at the table who would like to say something else. Okay.
At this time, also governed by the Borough of Highlands, to vote on the Highlands Business Partnership budget for the year 2009. Someone would like to offer?
Offer.
Good.
Offer by Ms. King.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay.
By Mr. Francis.
Any discussion at the table? Okay. Roll call vote.
Mr. Francis.
No.
Ms. Kane?
Excuse me.
No, we're voting to give him a 47.5.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'd like to correct my vote, please. The yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Mr. Chiasson?
Yes.
Mr. Urbanskis? Mayor Lill?
I'm going to vote no on this budget because it is not the budget of the Highlands Business Partnership, and my vote, if I were given the opportunity, would be for the budget of the Highlands Business Partnership. I believe the budget is carried.
The budget is carried. That concludes the hearing on the
okay.
Issue. We have another list on the agenda.
Okay. We have a consent agenda this evening. It contains 24 different items. In advance of a public portion on the consent agenda items, I would like to advise the public there have been requests from the table. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, there have been requests from governing body members at the table to remove item number 7 for separate discussion, item number 21 for separate discussion, and that will be accomplished. If your question pertains to item number 7 or item number 21, I would recommend that you hold it until we get through the consent agenda.
Excuse me, Mayor. May I have the title of the item number 21?
Item number 21 is R09-143, resolution authorizing refund of zoning escrows. You still want that removed, or you changed your mind? Okay, I stand corrected. Item number 21 will remain as part of the consent agenda. Item number 7 will be discussed separately. Any others that I've missed?
Can I add one thing?
You can add something.
Okay, I would like to add, since the business improvement district budget was approved, I'd like to add the $7,500 payment to the supplemental building.
We would need to do that by motion, or can we put it in the consent agenda?
No, you have to separate it.
I do have to separate it. Okay. It'll be an other resolution? Okay. And that's going to be add $7,500 payment to HBP to supplemental bills, right?
Correct. Thank you.
Okay. That being said, let me open the public portion and see if I can guide us through this. The list for public portion regarding agenda items begins with Mr. Nicosia. Am I saying your name correctly?
Yeah, Nicosia.
Of One Scenic Drive, and the question is about street repair.
Yes, I was here at the last meeting, and I brought up the question. We have 165 taxpayers that live in the East Point condominium, and at the intersection, I think it's Orchard, coming off 36, coming up, it's a small patch of road. For many years, and I go back, I can document at least 2 years, that we've been asking the town to repair the potholes that are coming up. And at our last meeting, I presented paperwork showing from the freeholders, there was a question on who owned the road, and showed the freeholders stated, and I have paperwork here I can give to you, that the board of freeholders said that the Highlands owns that intersection right there. I asked you if you could help us repair it because it's getting there. 2 years ago, it was dangerous then. Now it is utterly ridiculous.
Okay.
We have a cold patch in it, trying so people don't get hurt, but we need some consideration. You know, we're 165 taxpayers there that come down. That's the only way we can get out and come in, and we're on a public road. And I asked you to pave our road up there, which is asking to pave that small section where you enter in. And there's been a debate who owns it. You bounce it back to the Atlantic Islands.
Did we not determine that it's? I mean, first of all, I do not want to chastise anybody. It seems to be a lot of confusion. This is not on the consent agenda, right? Okay, and the attorney was trying to tell me that. But I let you finish because this has been a very confusing evening. Now, I remember the discussion on this, and I thought we were all okay in making that repair.
Correct.
correct?
There's an email from T&M that is in your package, and it came via email from Dale Luner.
Apparently it's not Highlands proper.
Okay, I'm just going to make a really practical observation here. It is a small piece of roadway. If no one is going to take responsibility for maintaining it, are we just going to let it fall into disrepair and leave it alone? Whose responsibility is it? It has to be repaired. We need to be able to drive on it. So let's get practical here and come up with a solution, because I'm frustrated, and I don't live there.
Mayor, all I can tell you is just by looking at the documentation that was presented, and by going through your old ordinances, which was 082-4, the county, absolutely, that letter is right. The county did vacate that roadway to the borough.
And so did the borough. So who's got it? Nobody owns it.
This is a letter saying that.
Understood. If I could finish.
Sure.
The county doesn't necessarily recognize or would look into a local ordinance where the borough vacated that roadway as well, which in this case you did.
Okay, so we vacated it, and who owns it?
Yeah, but you're saying to vacate the road. We're not talking about the road going up. We're talking the intersection.
The intersection itself, and according to...
The intersection is 30 feet approximately, 30 by 65 by 200. It's not the whole roadway. That's why I think there's confusion.
Yeah, I understand that point.
Right.
I need to hear from you where we're going with this. Because the guy's road's got to get repaired. It
Understood.
Either belongs to them, belongs to us, belongs to somebody.
Right. Mayor, we met with... It was me, Council President Urbanski, Mr. Hilling, the lady from East Point, Jack, I believe her name was. I believe you might have been up there as well. The intersection itself of Ocean and Orchard, the intersection is in okay shape. It's the area north of the intersection that goes up the hill. That's
on the edge of the county road that, God bless the county of Monmouth, they used to serve on the Board of Freeholders.
Understood.
They don't want to do anything.
Right, understood. So basically, here's what I'm getting at. Long story short, I looked at the markers at the roadway, which belonged to Stockton Associates. I called Stockton and said, look, what do we have here? I also looked at the current application in front of the planning board that has a property survey of this trailer park area. It shows that trailer park owns half that roadway. According to Mr. Stockton, East Point owns the other half of the roadway. That is what his survey is
showing.
So we have
to go to the owner of the trailer park in order to get the road fixed.
Both of them. It seems like it's a private roadway that wouldn't involve any borough funding, but it seems like it's a joint venture between the two entities, private entities.
Mayor Larry, can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
He's saying that he doesn't own it, but within a year ago, we had a manhole sewer collapse there, absolute collapse, and the town owns it. They come up, they rebuilt it. They took it out, concrete it, put it up. Now, if they didn't own it, if Highlands didn't own it, what were they doing up there? That's what I'm saying. We get bounced around, but they did fix the manhole.
Exactly. The town owns the sewer system. Absolutely. But
and you fixed the area where it was caving in.
Well, you have to if you replace the sewer system. You have to fix that roadway.
So your yard would be the same thing if you.
Okay, so I'm hearing, and I'm frustrated, but I am hearing that the Borough of Highlands has to defer to two private entities to fix this road. That's what I'm hearing. And I'm hearing from the attorney who is pointing to the engineer that legally, we can't fix this. Is that what I'm hearing?
And the question was whether or not we owned it and whether there was an obligation of us to fix it.
Right.
And apparently, it seems reasonably clear through Mr. Ludner's research that it's not borough property. That's the question. That's the question I answered.
Well, I think the reason we want to know if it's borough property is because we want to know if we can fix it.
It's whether you have an obligation to, whether you can or not. It's private property. If you're going to go on private property, the borough can do a lot of things, but if you're going to go and fix somebody's driveway, there's a couple of things that you want to put in place first.
Well, this
I don't
driveway
know if it's necessary.
Connects.
It's not directly entrance.
It's not. See, it's driveway to me would be going up to East
exactly.
Point. It's going toward Atlantic House.
It's private property.
No,
people drive across the driveway.
Got to make the right to go in the
intersection. The road going from the intersection up to East Point.
No. It's not the road going up to East. It's the road when you hit Orchard. It's only there, and you come up 200 feet. You don't go on to where the sign says East Point, where the road is. It's right in the entrance, right there.
Okay.
You're not going to turn right. We're asking for what's below that.
Okay, here's how I'm going to handle this, I think. Excuse me, everybody. Is there someone at the table that wants to do something about this, or do you want to leave it to the private property owners at this point? Do you need more information? I mean, I definitely feel an inclination to do something, but I don't know if you guys...
It's a wrong... It's not a... If it was, you know, fixed the little bit, it would be one thing at the intersection, but you're talking a long road and a lot of money.
So I'm hearing no.
Okay.
If it's not ours, I can't see how you could spend public money.
Well, that's an issue for, I think, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, which is where that's I was it. Going.
So why can't we do this then? Let's go and have one more meeting up there, and I want to come too. Bring the engineer one more time, and we'll have you, sir, up there.
The manager
company up there.
Can you also get Shadow
Lawn? We're going to find out where the road is.
And
I'm going to call. And I'm going
to
call a guy from the highway department that runs this part of the county roads, because it's a county road up there.
Can we get somebody from the that gave us the letter saying?
I don't know about the letter, but I'll get the foreman of this area of Monmouth County that runs. Keeps up on the county roads here, going up Linden Avenue, up behind, you know, Orchard, and down the valley. He's going to be on site too. So, you know, we're going to have the county guy there, the road inspector there. We'll have the engineer there. I'll bring Mr. Yubanski, since he was there once, and I'm going to come.
We can't have anybody from the that said that you own the land. I would like to just give it. No, he's the one saying you own the land.
They've been wrong before in the same kind of discussion.
Okay, I've got to get us back on track to the consent agenda. It sounds to me like you're going to have another meeting. I'm pleased because I really don't want to just leave it like that. But that's, you know, I do understand the legalities. Technically, under the law, if we don't own it and we're spending taxpayer dollars on property that's privately owned, we can be liable. So something's going to have to be worked out.
Okay, so this is what we'll do then. We'll have the highway department inspect. You know, road guy there runs this district for the county. Dale's going to go there again, Johnny and me, and you and the management company.
Okay.
And we're going to find out where, who owns the road, if it's the trailer park in East Point, if it's Monmouth County, or the Borough Highlands.
That's the way we've been staking us for years. We've been bouncing around. It's not you, it's Atlantic.
Atlantic's on the other side of the intersection. Right,
and
at
now,
the hydrant.
And now the engineer is saying that it's privately owned. So let's have one more meeting. I like Mr.
So we'll have one more
meeting.
Make it, you know,
do
see
something
if you're happy with it.
And,
you know, and see if, you know, we're happy. And, so,
we don't want to do anything against the law, but we do want to get that road
right.
fixed. So let's
we want to help you out if we can help you out. If we, you know.
Not help us out. We're taxpayers.
I know.
So 165
you're
taxpayers
right,
huh?
Right.
Deserve a road.
We can help the taxpayers up at East Point out. We're going to help you out. If we can't help you out, maybe the county can help you out. It might be their part to do it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Field. All right, now I'm going to go through this public portion list. I am asking for questions regarding agenda items. We are referring to the agenda that is here at the front of the room. If your name is called, please refer to something that's on the agenda, okay? That'll be helpful to me getting through this list. Donald H. Mandrop, 268 Bayside Drive.
268 Bayside Drive. On page 3, request
a
special liquor license.
That's other. It's other business. It's other business. Yeah, we're dealing. Yeah, we're dealing with the consent agenda.
It's the consent agenda.
Pretty much. I don't know if we take
on the other ones later.
Yeah, because the other resolution might be included, but the ordinances have their own public hearings.
That's where I got the other.
Okay. Michelle Pizzullo of 115 Highland.
Hi, I just need some clarification on two items, the R09123 and the R09124. With the audit, the reason we're doing this is because we're trying to find redundancies, or do we just normally get audited?
State requirement every year.
Okay, thanks. And then on the 124, I don't understand four bid packages were picked up and one two bid was received. And the whereas, where you're in receipt of these new bids, so I'm a little confused as to what's going on there.
I think the question is to the bidding process. Madam Clerk, can you shed some light on that? Do you know how that works?
Well, what happened was a bond ordinance created that sets aside the money for the project that we're going out to work on. Then we authorize the engineers to put specifications together and accept the bids. There can be any number of people or organizations that pick up the bids, but it's actually what's returned here, usually at 10 o'clock in the morning, for a bid opening process. The bond ordinance, I believe, was for $80,000?
Approximately.
And the bids came in at $141,000. Therefore, we don't have a mechanism to fund that. And the council needs to decide what they want to do from there.
Okay, and but the it says, and the one two bid was received.
Where are we?
It's maybe
the wording? Let's see.
Yeah, it's the third whereas down from the title.
Four bid packages were picked up and, I'm sorry, I should say two bids were received.
Sometimes a package is picked up and it's incomplete, therefore it's not considered a bid, correct?
Yeah, it's rejected for
incomplete. Right. And if you have four packages and two bids, that's probably what happened.
In this case, four people purchased bids and specs. Mm-hmm. Two companies bid on the project. So two other companies decide not to go forward and put a bid in. So two companies bid on the project. Both bids came in. They're both above the funds available. So it's a resolution rejecting the bid.
Now, the people that you only get four bids that you put out there, right?
No. It's publicly advertised.
Oh, so like six people can pick it up.
And as many as want to.
Oh, okay. All right.
Only four chose to pick it up.
I got it. Okay. I'm good. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Next on the list is Drew Eldridge of 13 Washington Ave. It says VFW.
He left already.
He left. Okay.
I'm going to put him on the other list.
Okay.
Is he still here?
No, he's not.
Okay. Carol Bucco, would this be on the consent agenda or on the other resolution that we read out last?
I think on both, but number 16 is missing from the packet.
Number 16 is
resolution authorizing court to execute agreement for Hounds on the Bay.
Were we supposed to take that off? Yeah. You and I spoke about that one.
Yeah, that's the Hounds on the Bay one, the one that's already been.
Yeah, that was, I'm sorry, the agenda is used.
Yeah, okay, so that's all right.
So actually, that's supposed to come off because we had previously done it.
A year ago.
Right, thank
you. Okay, so item number 16 is actually removed. Okay.
Very good catch.
Is there any other comment from Carol Bucco at this time?
No.
Okay, Jim Phillip, on the consent agenda or the other resolutions?
No.
I don't need that. Okay. Jay Cosgrove. Jim Parla.
Yes. Well, Michelle already covered one, but the other item 20, resolution appointing a liaison to the sewer authority. Is this replacing somebody or?
Nope.
No.
This
We've never had one.
You never had one.
And there's a council person who's requested appointment, I think. And that's why it's on
there. There's no council representative?
The council appoints every year, there are terms. The council, by advice and consent, the mayor makes an appointment, the council confirms the appointment. Highlands has three representatives on a six-member sewer authority, which is a regional sewer authority between two towns. Atlantic Highlands has a very interested council person, Mr. Fligger, who attends all of the sewer authority meetings and has been designated as a council liaison to the sewer authority. There is a member of our governing body who also attends those meetings religiously and is asking for such designation. So it's on the consent agenda to give him that designation.
Thank you.
You're welcome. John Bentham, 39 Washington. On the consent agenda, are the resolutions, please?
Not on the consent agenda.
Okay.
He's on the next one.
Okay. I hope you're going to help me with the next one. Okay. Carla Braswell, Gravelly Point Road. On the consent agenda or other resolutions?
Edit around.
Okay. Art Gallagher, 158 Linden Ave.
Other resolutions.
Okay. Oh, okay, I understand. All right. AJ Solomon of Marina Bay Drive. Is it on the consent agenda and other resolutions or public motion? Okay. Arnie Feud of 50 Valley Street. Okay. I think we're done with the. He said pass. He said pass. That's what he said. Okay. So I believe we're at a moment when we can take a, well, we can close public portion, and then we can take a motion on the consent agenda at this time.
The consent agenda is minus item number 7, R09-129. R09-138 has been removed.
I'll make a motion to the consent agenda, and under item number 20, I guess that point, Chris Grancy.
I'll second that.
The appointment of Mr. Francie.
Is there any discussion at the table relative to the consent agenda? Hearing none, roll call vote, please.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Mr. Piazza?
Yes.
Mr. Urbanski?
Yes.
Mayor Little?
Yes. Okay.
We have now.
We have to discuss item number 7.
Correct.
Which I think Mr. Francie asked to be
which
removed.
Is on the.
Unexpended balances?
Right.
Okay.
Cancellation of budget appropriations, current budget, and sewer utility budget.
Right. Mr. Pfeffer, this was a end of the year process.
Yes, it was.
Where you swept the existing budget of unexpended balances. Could you go through that process a little bit so that everybody kind of understands? Represented some $315,000, which rolls over into the new year as a surplus. Am I correct?
Materially, yes.
Okay.
Okay. What happens is at the end of the year, I do a review of whatever's unexpended, which means what hasn't been spent in the budget. And before I pick the number that can be canceled, I have to consider any contingent liability that might be out there, which could be a situation in a salary account of overtime, because where the payroll cuts off on any given pay period, there still could be overtime, still could be days within that calendar year, and in the police budget, that's a typical example of where there could be overtime incurred in the last week of the year that has to be charged back to the prior budget. I have to consider anything that might not be in yet, usually some utility bills lagging a month behind. Same with might be health benefits. Anything that could be contingently coming in against the prior year's budget, I have to consider before I decide what is an adequate amount to cancel. A very good example. I called the County of Monmouth. I would say July 2nd, and said, or a little bit after July 2nd, and said, do you have the landfill bill for the month of June? Can you fax it to me so I can see how much money I was going to have left after you paid that bill? Those are the things that I go through before I make the cancellations. What happens after I make the cancellations, they are canceled directly to surplus, which come back to help fund the following year's budget. Now, I was going to give this a little bit more in my report later, but I'll just give a little bit to it right now about this resolution. There was this resolution, part of what made this resolution possible, the amount anyway, was some very positive steps that the council took based on budget discussions that we had early on in fiscal year 2009 that created some nice size balances in some of the accounts. One of them was the decision to remove commercial garbage. And I'll go into that more when I give my report. A second one that affected several line items, salary line items, was a situation involving employee positions, which created excess money in the accounts, substantial amounts that helped to fund this amount that we canceled. And this amount was well above what we used. We have a budget committee, I'm sure everybody's familiar with it. It was well above the amount that we used in the initial preparation of an estimated budget for 2010 and where we might fall on surplus and where we might fall within the levy cap. So this was a very positive thing that took place, and a lot of it had to do with the council action that they took during the year. And I have to say that the process that we utilized, pushing the budget process ahead by about 6 months, really contributed to this, made a big difference.
I also want to just piggyback on the comment. The council took the legislative action to accomplish what Mr. Pfeffer has referenced. There have been additional smaller quantities that have been made available. And while they're not as significant in size, they are very significant relative to the team spirit here in the Borough of Highlands. I'm very happy as your town executive to report that your employees that work for you are all looking for ways to save your money. And I have had more suggestions in the last couple of months since establishing the Budget Review Committee from employees who work for you on how to save money in particular departments. And I have to commend them publicly here on the record for having that team spirit, realizing that they are part of this community and that this is not just a source of income for them. So some of them live here and some of them don't. So I hope that you will reflect on that when you're dealing with your borough employees.
Just one thing sure. Further. You're going to comment further on where we are relative in your budget on your report, on the financial report. We'll
yes.
talk further.
Yes.
Okay. And with that, I'd like to offer this resolution.
Okay. And is there a second at the table for this resolution? Any discussion at the table? Roll call, please.
Mr. Francis.
Yes.
Ms. Gaines. Mr. Chiazza.
Yes.
Mr. Urbanski.
Yes.
Mayor Rue.
Yes. I believe we're on to the other resolution, adding the $7,500 payment to HBP to the supplemental bills. I am trying so hard. Okay. So at this point, we need a motion, as we've really discussed it.
Yes. Is there some? Add the $7,500 to the Highlands Business Partnership for supplemental bill.
Okay.
Supplemental and the bill. Sorry.
Okay. So moved. And how about a second? Is there any discussion at the table? Let's have a roll call on that.
Mr. Francis?
Yes.
Ms. King?
Yes.
Mr. Chiazza?
Yes.
Mr. Urbanski?
Yes.
Mayor Little?
Yes. Okay, we're on to ordinances.
On for introduction and setting up a public hearing date for August 19th is Ordinance 09-17, an ordinance amending Chapter 10, Section 10-3, reserved for the revised general ordinances of the Borough of Highlands, County of Monmouth, and State of New Jersey.
Is there a motion for introduction and setting of a public hearing date on this ordinance?
Sure. By Mr. Francis.
And a second?
A second.
Seconded by Mr. Beans.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Francis?
Yes.
Ms. King?
Yes.
Mr. Chiazza?
Yes.
Mr. Urbanski?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
On for introduction and setting up a public hearing date for August 19, 2009 is Ordinance 09-18 and Ordinance amending Chapter 7, Section 7-3.4 of the Code of the Borough of Highlands regarding public parking.
Okay, is there a motion to introduce and set a public hearing date on this ordinance?
I'll make it.
By Mr. Kiesa.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
By Ms. King.
Roll call.
Mr. Francis?
No.
Ms. King?
Yes.
Mr. Chiazza?
Yes.
Mr. Urbanski?
Yes.
Mayor?
Yes. Now we're on to the second reading of public hearing.
Yes. May I say that all the ordinances we're about to consider have been published in the June 26th issue of the True North Times. With that said, Ordinance 09-14, an ordinance amending Chapter 9-7.9 of the revised general ordinances of the Borough of Highlands, defined contribution retirement program. That was second reading and may be open to public this time, Mayor Little.
Okay, I will open the public hearing with regard to ordinance O0914 at this time. By show of hands, if there are any questions or comments relative to O0914, the ordinance defined contribution retirement program. Show of hands, members of the public.
What exactly does defined contribution retirement program mean?
Mr. Pfeffer.
The state is moving away from the normal defined pension benefits that they offer the employees and has taken a selected class of new employees that would potentially be hired by municipalities and making it basically a 401k, very similar to a 401k, trying to wean themselves off of the old public employees pension system. This is a mandate by the state.
So all of these people were on the pension system?
Well,
and now they're going to be...
No, the ordinance, I'm not sure which part of the list that you're looking at. There is a list on here of exempt employees, okay?
Yeah, I know. This is the list, the defined contribution.
Right, so let's say you had a borough attorney who was an employee who wasn't in the old pension system. They equate it similar to appointments like the president would appoint the cabinet in Washington, D.C., in the federal government. Those type of appointments would now go into this new pension system, including the mayor and the council. Any newly elected mayor or council person would go into this system if they wanted to. And this is an optional system at the up to the employee.
So they're contributing.
Yes, the employees are contributing and the town is contributing, but in a much different fashion than the way the regular pension systems are set up today.
Okay. Are there any other questions or comments relative to ordinance O0914? Mr. Gallagher.
The list of people on here, they're going into the new system or they're exempt from the new system?
Well, I'm not sure which list. The list that has the statutory employees, like the chief financial officer,
yeah,
the tax collector, they're exempt. They stay in the old pension system.
Okay, and then the ones, that's number two, tax collector, and then you have the business administrator, director of department, is established, borough engineer, municipal prosecutor, municipal court judge, etc. They're in the new system.
Anybody hired who's not already in the old pension system would be mandated into the new system.
Okay, so the people who are...
They stay.
Okay, so if we... But the chief, the certified health officer, tax collector, CFO, construction code official, qualified purchasing agent, tax assessor, municipal planner, registered municipal clerk, licensed uniform subcode inspector, and principal public works manager are exempt from the new system, which means they stay in the old system,
yeah,
even if they're a new hire.
Right, they're mandated into the old system.
Even if they're a new hire.
Right, correct. And as a matter of fact, there's one missing court administrator. Also,
you probably should add it to the list before you present.
It was amended later by the state. What happened was it was further amended by the state. So, but those are exempt positions. They stay with the old pension system.
Are there any other questions or comments about ordinance O0914 at this time? By show of hands. Seeing none, I will close the public hearing on O0914.
On the third and final reading and adoption at this time is ordinance O0914, an ordinance amending chapter 9-7.9 of the revised general ordinances for the Borough of Highland defined contribution retirement program.
Can I have a motion on this ordinance?
I'll make it. By Mr. Hanson.
Second.
Make it by Ms. Kane.
Discussion at the table? Hearing none, roll call vote.
Mr. Francy?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Mr. Piazza?
Yes.
Mr. Urbanski?
Yes.
Mayor Little?
Yes.
Second reading is ordinance O0915. An ordinance amending Chapter 21, enforcement of the revised general ordinances of the Borough of Highlands, may be open for public hearing at this time.
I'm opening the public hearing relative to ordinance 09-15, ordinance amending chapter 21 enforcement. Is there any member of the public by show of hands that would like to ask a question or make a comment on 09-15? Seeing no hands, I'm going to close the public hearing at this time. Third reading.
Okay, on for third and final reading and adoption at this time is ordinance 09-15, an ordinance amending chapter 21 enforcement of the revised general ordinance of the Borough of Highlands.
Make a motion.
Offered by Ms. King.
Is there a second at the table?
I'll second.
Taken by Ms. Gerbians.
Any discussion at the table?
Yes, Mayor.
Yes.
Chapter B talks about any person or persons who violate provisions of the chapter are liable upon conviction to a fine not to exceed $125. I think that's a typo. I think that should be $125 per day or some sort of, because at this point it makes the ordinance just a nuisance. $125 is a very small fine. And I don't know what was intended, but to me that's a very small amount.
It's been it, that's the way it's
I don't really recall with specificity what the fine was.
It's been that way since.
Yeah.
So we can change it. We can amend it.
You want to amend it to a daily fine per day of violation?
I mean, we've just gone through raising fines up to $1,000 or $10,000 just as so they are a deterrent.
Right. Actually, I think what it says is each and every day such violation continues shall be deemed to be a separate and distinct violation. The sentence before that, Mr. Francis?
Yes, I understand that.
Says,
but then
any person who violates any provision of this chapter shall be liable upon conviction to a fine not to exceed $125.
It seems to me there's a cross.
I think what that means is that means each day. But if you want to put in there $125 per date of
per citation
or per violation.
Per violation? That works for me. To me, it's
confusing. It's just a clarification. You're not modifying it, it's just a clarification. So
yeah,
if you put in $125, put in per violation.
Correct.
And I would consider, and of course, subject to the attorney, it's not a material change,
yeah,
therefore, we can still adopt.
Per day of violation is what I meant to say. Mr. Urbanski, are you okay with that?
Okay, thank you for that discussion. Any further discussion at the table? We have a motion and a second on the ordinance 09-15. Okay, roll call.
Mr. Francis?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Mr. Chiazzi, you were out of the room. We were doing an adoption on.
I'll
stand. 915. Mr. Urbanski? Yes. Mayor Lynn? Yes. Second reading at this time is ordinance 09-16, an ordinance amending various chapters of the Code of the Borough of Highlands.
And I will open the public hearing on 09-16 at this time. Is there any member of the public who wishes to make a comment or ask a question? By show of hands. I believe that's Mr. Mandrot in the back, 268 Bayside Drive.
On the summer rentals under D on this ordinance, the initial fee for inspection is $300.
Is that a correct fee amount, ladies and gentlemen? Yes.
It's $300 per year.
I believe it's only a one-time fee and the inspector will come out.
Yeah, one time.
That's prior to the first act.
You can run it as many times as you want after that.
It was suggested by the code enforcement officer so as to alleviate the need for the current continuous payment.
No, I think we have some
but
summer rentals.
Some man like Mr. Quick, who has a couple of bungalows, he's going to be paying $300 for each unit, and then he's got to keep the list up on a month that he rents by the summer. But the CEO, he hasn't paid a landlord. I pay
$85
for a CEO.
So we'll have to change the summer rentals. It'll have to have. I understand what he's trying to do, but the word summer rentals isn't going to work there.
I don't think he cares whether it's monthly or weekly. I don't think the zoning officer cares.
No, what I'm saying
no,
is
I'm,
why for a summer rental should you have to pay more than if you were going to rent it for a year, if you're only renting it to one person?
Because you're paying numerous times every time you get a new
person. Summer rental is getting inspected monthly, regardless.
Why?
I think we need to differentiate between the person who rents a single unit for an entire summer and a person who rents on a weekly or monthly basis. The person who rents on a weekly or monthly basis, if they pay $300, is saving money.
Well, I suppose
the person who does it by the summer, it's jacking up. Mr. Mander has a point.
I suppose
if the registration, we have to pay the
Mr. Quick's my next door neighbor, is a very elderly gentleman. No means friends.
I suppose that if they presented Mr. Murphy with a lease, that he could exercise his judgment to say this is not a summer rental pursuant to the ordinance, that it is in fact it's monthly or seasonal, where he's not going to have to come out there weekly. $300 was in anticipation of it being a weekly rental. At least I expect it was, because it says
say I'm renting it.
A monthly rental as opposed to
it's a summer rental.
Right. So I suspect that he could, that Mr. Murphy, you know, if he was presented with a lease, would be able to say, oh, I see, this is not a monthly rental, this is more than a monthly rental, so I only have to do one inspection. But if it's anything less than an annual inspection, I suspect that he would say, listen, I got to go out there several times a year now, so that's why. But this was well thought out by him, and it was abstracted from a number of different municipalities that had a similar situation with regard to seasonal rentals. So that's all I can tell you about it. From a policy perspective, if you want to change it, you'd have to re-advertise, because that would be a substantive change. But and I would check with Mr. Murphy as to what his thoughts were, because he may still say, even if it's a summer rental, meaning 3 months, he may say, well, that's still something that should generate a higher fee because of X, Y, and Z. I just don't know.
Yeah, I think I understand what he's trying to get at. There's been an issue. Mr. Pugh.
Arnie Pugh, 50 Valley Street. I ran into this situation personally, and to rent out a house for 4 months, it was over $400. And I believe it was $300 to register as a landlord. And then enough, two other fees that were associated with the CO, and another fee for a fire inspection. So, you know, that's quite a bit of money. And it's going to deter people from registering as landlords if every time they want to do this, they get hit with $400.
You know, the landlord fee is on a sliding scale. If you're a renter, if you're renting, you have to get it. And then if you have no violations over a three-year period, it goes down to $25. And the regular CO fee is $85, including the fire.
Right. Can it be adjusted to per property or something? Or
it is per property.
Per property, or
yes.
Whatever.
But it's not per, when you get a CO, it's not per property.
It's per
house. Yeah, but it is per property.
Okay, just so it's clear, because it's a lot of money, and I don't want people to be deterred from registering because it is a lot, and it keeps the town inspected.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I did see a hand over here. Ms. Braswell?
Is the registration still owner occupied, John? Councilman, are we asking?
What's that?
Is it still owner occupied, the landlord registration? Or is that a change?
I think. No, we just reduced the rate.
Okay. And like the lodging, like we discussed the other day.
That's what this is for.
Right. And then for people like this, for potential future developments with lodging. So they would pay $300 one time fee.
Well, not if it's a hotel. That's a whole different inspection.
Right, not the bed and breakfast, but for example,
right, that's what this is for.
So it's a $300 one-time fee?
One time per year.
Per year.
And will come as needed.
And then not separate fee of those each time?
No, right. It's $300. But, and the landlord registration.
Okay. Ms. Bucco and then Mr. Mandrot.
Yeah,
Was this then applied to all summer rentals? Like even if they rent for the entire summer?
No, that's what we were just talking
about. Yeah, well, I think it's discriminatory if it doesn't. If you're going to tax one place that rents by the day or the weekend or the month.
Yeah, but Carol, if you had, let's say in the case, you had 10, and you had to get 10 COs at the beginning of the year, that's $850.
So, well, I can see the COs, but then are you also going to apply
this COs
that every year
this
rent
is
out?
This is the fee to do all of that.
In other words, Don's example, Ed Quick is going to have
to pay. No, he could just go in and say, I'm renting a place, I need a CO.
The attorney has given us the option of...
Well, he gets one for each, and he has his landlord registration like a regular rental property.
And then he gets CO at $300. Is that correct?
No.
Why not?
Well, he could if he wants, but he's giving you close to $300 anyway.
Yeah, it may not make that much of a difference for him. He says 8 units and $85 per unit.
Well, didn't you want it 88?
No, I just think that it's sort of ridiculous that one place should have to do it and another place should not if they rent for the summer.
Yeah, but Carol, depending on his circumstance, it's either beneficial to do it one way or not. If you want to consider yourself a summer rental and you have 4 units and you want to pay the $300, pay the $300. If you have 5 and you want to pay $85 or 10, pay $85. It's $850. So, you know, it equals out.
I understand what you're saying, but you're saying that it's initial inspection and you're saying that Quick doesn't have to do it. Well, he has summer rentals.
He has to get a CO.
Here's the issue. If someone is renting by the week or by the month, the CO inspector has to inspect every time the tenant changes over. So the weekly or monthly summer rental is requiring several inspections in the course of the summer, whereas the one-time rental for the season only requires a single CO visit.
I understand that. I'm just saying that if one person has to do it, like the Nauvoo or any other little places around, and other places don't have to do it,
that's wrong.
It's discriminatory.
If they're similarly situated, but
well,
if one is renting differently than the other.
Ed has the same situation. He has bungalows back there. I don't know how many.
Yeah, but he's got the same thing.
But it's by the summer. Mr. Mandrot, your comment.
What it says here, though, summer rentals shall be inspected monthly. Right in the paragraph. That's the paragraph
that
is written right.
So,
what
should be the fee then?
Well, you should withdraw the ordinance, you should research it, and you should apply it to every summer rent. Period.
Honestly, I heard the objection of Mr. Mandrot earlier on, and I was considering that it would be an expense to Mr. Quick. But as I think it through, if the man has 8 summer rentals at $85 each, $300 is also a savings to him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're applying out.
It's also a savings,
don't you think?
You're saying he doesn't need to do it because he rents for the whole summer.
You don't if you don't want
it. He has to do the initial one. Are you saying he has to do the initial one?
Yes.
$300.
Everybody's got to get a CO when you rent a place.
Okay, as long as he has to do the initial one, that's fine.
Everybody.
And he's going to be inspected every month.
And not if people don't leave.
Well, it doesn't say that.
It doesn't say it here.
It doesn't say any summer rentals shall be
inspected. Tell him, why would you tell him if you're going to have somebody there for 6 months, why would you tell him your summer rental will pay $300 when you can pay $85? So I need a CO. I don't understand the argument.
Well,
you know,
we just need to define summer rental.
We're going to have to re-advertise if we do.
We had a discussion with Mr. Murphy, and he had indicated that it was regarding heat. If you did not have heat, and it's a true summer rental, and it would apply. So maybe it needs to be defined if that's the case. And if that's the case, then I have a question. Does that mean in the winter months, if you don't have heat and you're subject to this, does that I'll ask him a question.
That's already been decided by several examples.
Huh?
If you're connected to the sewers, and you have to be, you're paying a sewer year round. That's been decided several times.
Not open and you don't have heat and you're classified as
and you don't use water right. And
it's been decided especially with the situation with Mr. Quick, it's a connection period, done. You can't not use a connection.
Who's phone?
Right, we do need to have all the cell phones placed on vibrate or silence or turned off. Hey, Mr. Mandrup, do you have more to add?
Yeah, it should be. If it's a flat rate, like $300, that's good. Let it go, but it's still a monthly inspection. And I don't think we can get it. If Claire thought it was for zero, I had to wait 3 weeks.
Well, he's going to have to determine whether he can do this. But I understand what Mr. Murphy is...
But it's not written correctly, his paragraph.
Okay, I understand what Mr. Murphy is trying to accomplish. He wants to obey the law with regard to certificate of occupancy inspections when tenants change over. And he is trying to address a situation in which perhaps landlord registration may not have been enforced. Maybe, you know, he's trying to deal with those who may have fallen through the cracks.
But if we don't pass it now, somebody's going to be paying 85 times 10. What's the point?
I don't understand that. I do believe the intent of the ordinance is to create a savings for people. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
is there anybody else? Is there anybody else that has a question or a comment in this public hearing on ordinance 00916 of amending various codes? Seeing no hands, I'm going to close the public hearing at this time. Third reading, please.
On the third and final reading at this and adoption at this time is ordinance 00916, an ordinance amending various chapters of the code of the Borough of Highland.
Okay, is there a motion on this ordinance?
I have a 361. I don't agree with that at all on the first page.
Okay,
so you have marinas that store boats that need that space between property lines. It doesn't make sense to change something that's been going on since we've been a quaint little fishing village here. Why change that? I don't see any purpose to that part of it.
Scott will have to move his racks at this point. Marina on the bay has to move the boats away from the fence. I think personally we need to table the whole thing.
Is there a motion to table it?
So moved.
Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? I hear none opposed. We are going to have to republish. I believe my instruction to this council would be please get straight what we want in this ordinance before we republish it. There is an expense involved every time we publish an ordinance. So let's get with Mr. Murphy individually. Make sure you're happy with what's in the ordinance. And when we go to introduce this the next time, we would like, because you know you can make the amendments, I believe, between introduction and second reading. You can't make them after second reading. And before
public hearing.
You can't do it after public hearing. So if we're going to make changes here at the table, I would suggest looking at the ordinance when we introduce. If you want to change it, it would be prudent to make those changes at introduction or before introduction.
That's why, yes, ma'am, and that's why I make it a habit to try and circulate the ordinance first so that people can see it
right.
and absorb it, because you're absolutely correct.
You can't fix it once we have the hearing.
Exactly.
And there is an expense involved. I'm not saying that what happened here tonight was not prudent or good. It was good. You don't want to enact a law that isn't going to be effective in the way that the governing body intends, but we do want to try to save money where we can. So we want to try to look at these things before they're introduced. Mm-hmm. These kinds of issues we should be raising at the time of introduction. Okay? So I'll try to do that next time. On committee reports, I want to make an announcement that I have waived the need, due to the lengthy agenda and a single meeting in the month of July, for us to all report individually. Most people at the council table would reduce their report to a couple of comments, if anything at all. I am not exempting the finance committee officer because we're closing a fiscal year, we're opening a new one, we're going to be talking about a budget, and I do think he has things he needs to address that he didn't address in the other resolutions. I would also give an opportunity to the HBP, to the Environmental and Shade Tree Commissions, and to the Library Committee to give their reports if they're prepared to do so, and if they've come here tonight, if representatives have come here tonight with the intent to do so. So let's, yes, ma'am.
I have a note from Tara Ryan, there will be a library.
Okay, okay, so that takes care of that one. Is there anyone here from Environmental or Shade Tree?
Environmental and Shade Tree.
Okay. So comments from yourself, you certainly will be able to do when we come to you. Then let's go to finance, please.
Okay. All right, well, we closed out state fiscal year 2009. We had a much better December than we anticipated. We closed the year with a surplus of a little bit short of $1.3 million compared to a surplus of about $1.4 million last year. From the budget side, okay, that represents what we can anticipate in the budget from surplus as a shortfall of about $30,000, well below what we were projecting. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'll come back to the budget. I just want to give a couple more financial statistics to the council. As far as tax collections went, we came in with a collection rate at 96.79, which is above last year. And I don't know any year we were ever above this before. Last year, I think we broke the record. This year, we broke last year's record. So taxes seem to have been unaffected by the recession. Not sure how that happened, but
not good.
Yeah, but our collection percentage is above last year. It left an outstanding balance on taxes of $468,505. And that's opposed to last year's balance of $496,000. We collected 95.38% of our delinquent taxes, also a great number. That will give us some flexibility. Both of these figures give us a little bit of flexibility in our budget. And I wanted to, like I said before, we'll be able to anticipate a surplus in the new budget. It's $36,876 less. That takes us down right for the last penny. Now, hopefully, as we go through the budget and fine-tune it from this point forward, we'll be able to adjust that number somewhat on the downside. But I wanted to go over some things that came about because of our collection rate and because of the June that we had and because of the resolution that the council adopted, canceling out $315,000. As everybody's probably aware, we have a citizens budget committee that's made up of obviously citizens, two council members, and myself. And we have been going through the budget. We have really been running budget projections all the way through that whole scenario. And we started out with about a $500,000 projected deficit on the levy cap. And that we didn't even get to tax rate because we were well over the levy cap, so we weren't even talking tax rate at that time. And as we went along, we changed that projection. We were down to about $360,000 about 2 weeks ago. And then we closed the year, and I'm happy to say at this point in the projected budget, and I will throw a caveat in a little second, that we are under the state cap, and we are under by $34,000. Okay?
Good work, everybody.
Now, the one thing that I have to preface here is that we are using, and I explained this to the mayor earlier, we are using the state fiscal year 2009 levy cap form because the 2010 form is not out yet. I don't believe that there's any material differences between the 09 and the 10, but I can't be sure because they haven't put the new one out, nor have they sent out a local finance board notice to me to tell me that there weren't changes yet. There is no state fiscal year 2010 documents posted on the state's website yet. So we're waiting that as the next step in this process. But like I said, because of things that happened in in June, and because of some very proactive legislative actions by the council that really contributed a lot to this, we were able to get under the cap. And one thing I did want to bring up, because I was curious about this myself, is where it would come in. I guess it was back in December, the council eliminated commercial garbage pickup. And at the time, we weren't 100% sure what that was going to generate as far as the savings went. So that took effect on May 1st, and we received the May and June bills from the Monmouth County Reclamation System Center. And I went back and I looked at the last 2 years, 2009, 2008, 2007. And on average, it's a little bit higher than this, but on average, those 2 months in 2009 contributed to 100 tons less than the prior 2 years. Calculated out in today's dollars, came to about 16,600 savings. And what I will say is that if this trend continues, and we've only looked at 2 months because it's only been affected 2 months, it's going to carry through for the rest of the year, and it's going to affect our budget projections for next year in a positive way.
Okay.
Is that per month? That was over 2 months. That's a 2 month average. Okay, so the tonnage, though, it was really significant. It's 227 tons less in 2009 from 2008 and 218 tons less from 2007. So that's pretty significant. Now, whether it's an anomaly or it's going to be a continuing trend, we won't know until it continues, but that is a significant number.
Yeah, I would predict that numbers will be less different in the winter than they are in the spring and summer.
Oh, yeah, they'll be, yeah.
Because your businesses are operating at a higher level during the winter summer months than they are during the winter months. But it's significant, and I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, I will just add to what Mr. Pfeffer has said. Being under the levy cap by $34,000 is not necessarily a solution to the problem, because each year we have contractual increases. We also have premium increases in health insurance, which exceed that buffer. But it does help a mayor and perhaps the rest of you sleep better tonight than last night, because our community will once again, for at least one more year, remain an independent entity without the need for state involvement. And I think if we continue working with the Citizens Budget Review Committee, they are about to make some very sound recommendations to the governing body for future budget cycles. It will spark discussion of legislative action, which we can take proactively to avoid this kind of crisis in the future. So I'm really proud of everyone pulling together. Anything else, Steve, before I turn it over to Mr. Prancy?
No, that's where we stand right now, and we will continue with our group, and we will continue to go through the budget and refine this budget as we go along.
Thank you very much. Mr. Prancy?
No, I think you've said it all, Mayor Little. The budget cap represents a 4% tax increase. That's that cap levy, and so that we are committed to get down to zero. All right, so that's what we are pushing at. All right, it's a two-phase thing. One is to get under the cap, and second one is to see where we can. That's our target. All right, so we're not going to be finished until we get there. And there are several of the budget committee people in this room, and they are working very hard. So at some point, you guys ought to thank them. They're really kind of helping out.
So. Okay. Now, at this time, we're in the committee report section. I've already stated that we're waiving the requirement for it. Are there any comments by any council members of importance, or perhaps by the clerk or the administrator, that we think we need to make public aware of? Written reports will be made available in some form on the website between now and next meeting, so that the public can be apprised of the information, although we're not going to make you sit and listen to it orally tonight. Okay. I just have one comment. I was approached by a band leader who's involved with Cookdale Community College. He receives grant money every year to put on concerts. He has $1,000 extra from the grant money he received this year, and he has approached the Borough of Highlands, and wants to put a big band music concert on in Veterans Memorial Park. I have relayed the information to the director of parks, Timothy Hill, and I am putting the band director in touch with him. So I believe on August 22nd, if everything goes well, you'll be able to hear big band music in Veterans Memorial Park. And we will probably be looking for permission from this governing body to advertise that event at the Clam Fest. And would like you to begin thinking about what would be effective and appropriate given the situation. Okay?
Can I make one item?
Sure.
I think it's very good for the public to know that right now, residents are no longer required to pay a $400 escrow for a floodplain review, and it's now handled by the construction official, Paul Vitale. So a good thing for all the residents who want to come in and do some construction. So no longer a $400 escrow. It's mandated. No longer. Thank you.
Okay. All right. With that, we're going on to the other business section. Am I correct, Madam Clerk? Okay, at this point, we're going to hear from the engineers. Thank you so much for staying with us.
It's all good.
I know you have early mornings. Okay.
All right, thank you, Mayor.
Turn it over to you.
Just a few things on the agenda, on my agenda for tonight. There is a sewer main break we found today on Cornwall Street between Shrewsbury to Bay. We've looked at it, and we're going to provide improvement criteria to Bruce in the morning so that he can solicit bids and get that corrected.
I'm told by Mr. Urbanski, I guess after consultation with whoever's doing the work, that it should be repaired as early as tomorrow by a bypass method?
It's currently being bypassed so that the residents aren't impacted, and then it'll be continually bypassed until the improvements are put in place.
Okay, understood.
Second item is a follow-up to the last meeting regarding the emergency generators. You asked us to look into portables and the approximate cost of portables.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like for 60 kW, which is sufficient for your need, it's about $40,000 each for a portable generator. That's
okay.
An FYI. A quick rundown of the road improvement program. The shore drive work is substantially complete. Punch list work will follow. We have sent a letter to the contractor requesting a field meeting to discuss concerns relative to what we call the rideability of the surface. So we hope to have a meeting as early as next week and see how we move with that.
Mr. Keating?
Yes.
On that subject.
Yeah.
Are there specs on rideability?
There, not specifically. There is there
roughness or.
Well, they're not specifically. They're in the contract. General conditions about workmanship and that nature, but as far as rideability criteria, not specifically.
So there is not an objective measurement of the surface that you can apply.
Right.
Is that normal or?
It's normal. So if it's rough, then you would go to the workmanship criteria and the general conditions.
Thank you.
Yep. The remainder of that work, Waddell, Rogers, and Southland, we're waiting for DOT approval. Today, I guess we received the documents. They require checks and signatures, documents returned, and then that work will move forward. So that's good news.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments for the engineer at this time from anyone at the table?
Mayor, if I could bring up one issue. Dale and I have talked about it. We had a request from Resident on Prospect Street to look at the resurfacing project. We do have that money in from New Jersey American. It came in per our agreement with them. And the question Dale and I discussed is whether we want to proceed forward with that separately on its own entity or wait and add that to a project down the road as an add-on, basically.
What's the condition of the road right now?
Basically, we asked where the water company dug the trench up on Prospect last year and Woodlands.
Yeah, I remember.
The water company offered to repair the roadway, but at that time, that council had talked about redoing Woodlands immediately. So we told New Jersey American, look, we're going to have a contractor up here.
Give
us the money instead.
How bad's the road right now?
You can ride on it. It's just, there's a trench. There's a trench in the middle of the roadway.
You're going to put drainage in on Woodlands.
We are. We're going to put drainage in on Woodlands.
We'll wait.
Okay.
That way, when we do it, we have a nice, clean road. we will hang something somewhere that says 5-year moratorium, and nobody will dig it up. Okay?
Okay. I'll let them know. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else from the table on the engineering? Okay. Thank you, fellas. Well, let me see. Is there anything else here for Mr. Pfeffer? Okay. Seeing nothing, I'm going to let him go.
Thank you. I just want to tell everyone that I'll be out of town for the next 2 days.
I did hear that. Have fun playing basketball. Okay.
Good luck.
You're playing basketball?
No, I'm coaching. Good for you.
Okay, so now we're on to number two under other business, sanitation ordinance. This would be something that I would expect John Urbanski to address, and I think you told me you want to take it.
I'm working on it. We're having some personnel application issues.
Understood.
Right now, can't get the garbage man to be the garbage man, and the street guys are out now, so I'm trying to work through that before I tell you that we're going to do the fish fry.
Understood. So I would expect that you're making a motion to table that. Is there anyone else at the table that wants that tabled?
Yes.
Okay. And this is an all in favor, right? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, we will table it. Is there a specific date, Mr. Urbanski, on which you would like to address this?
I'll call you and we can put it back on.
Okay, so we're going to carry it indefinitely. It can go on the whiteboard, but don't include it in an agenda, Madam Clerk, until we advise. Okay, number three, under other business, the flood ordinance, review and discuss. I think I'm going to defer to Mr. Franci at the moment, and perhaps the engineer relative to this.
The flood ordinance is a recommendation from Monmouth County to basically update our ordinance, and specifically is to incorporate the new firm maps. So we're obligated to do that. What I'm suggesting is that we authorize the engineers to review both ordinances side by side, our existing ordinance and their recommendation. And if it's as simple as just changing the maps, give us the high sign that it's okay to do it the way it is. We send it to Scott and we get an ordinance. They've already suggested a format.
Yes.
It is 10, 15 pages, and I'm not sure that it's only just the firm map differences. So I would suggest that's what we do with that.
Mel, is there any second person here at the table that would like to see it handled in that way?
I think we should have somebody look at it because if it's 10 or 15 pages and we miss something.
Right.
Okay, can I have it all in favor for authorization? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the engineer is authorized to review and discuss. Is there a time frame, Mr. Franci, where you'd like them to report back?
Well,
to you?
We are delinquent in getting this done. We have to have it done, I believe, by September 1st.
Has to be adopted.
Yeah. Has to be adopted by.
We have one. We're not going to have it done by September 1st.
Correct. So we have
it's
to let Monmouth County know that where we are in the process and to just advise them. I don't think
okay.
they're particularly concerned about that part of it.
Okay.
We're
going
to get it done.
Here's what